Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of Hilchos Yom Tov every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef da Bechayle, Shtav refuah Shlema Bekorov, B'soy Shoh Choyle Yisrael. So we said we'd start looking at Noilad, because Noilad is a subject that comes up a lot in Hilchos Yom Tov, and Noilad is the subject of the very first Mishnah that everybody knows, Beitzo Shenol da Yom Tov. The Gemara is called Masechtes Beitzo, when really, in a lot of places, it's entitled Masechtes Yom Tov, because it's really about Hilchos Yom Tov, the whole of the Masechta. But because the Masechta starts off the first word, Be'yosh, and Olda Be'yom Tov, therefore, why did Chazal pick on an egg? Yeah, why didn't they're talking about something, the concept of Noilad is that something that became fit to eat, or something that became fit to use on Yom Tov, which was not fit to use before Yom Tov. This egg was inside the chicken during the period before Yom Tov, and it was laid on Yom Tov. So before Yom Tov, I couldn't use it. Now I could in theory eat the egg, and in fact it would be very nice to eat a fresh egg. My mother told me that when they were in London during the war in 1941-1942, they lived in Highbury, and they had chickens in the back garden, and every day she had to go out and get the chickens every day, to fetch the eggs, and the fresh eggs was regarded as, it was something that you couldn't buy. You had coupons, but there weren't always eggs in the shops, etc. So they kept their own chickens, and it was her job to go out and get the eggs every day. Which wasn't a pleasant job, apparently, because the chicken coops didn't smell very good. Of Al Kolponim,
still don't.
What?
Still
and they probably still don't. Al Kolponim, yeah. So why Be'yosh Shenol Yom Tov? Because there are two problems here, and that's the thing. That's the point that we want to make here. Point number one is it's Noilad. It's something new, and the pasuk says Ve'ichinu Es Asher Yoviu. You have to prepare for Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov, everything that you're going to use on Yom Tov, or that you're going to use for that matter on Shabbos, must be Muchon and Mezumon, capable of being used from before Shabbos. If you made it capable of being used, being eaten before Shabbos, then... So there are various examples of that. Simple example is the fruit that fell off the tree. So as long as it was on the tree, yeah, the fruit was ready. The fruit was already fully developed. I could have picked the fruit yesterday and eaten it on Friday, but I didn't pick it on Friday. I left it on the tree, and on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, it fell off the tree. So now it became edible. Another example is given is the children used to play, it's brought down in Chazal, children used to play with the pips of apricots. Yeah, the pepper apricot is quite a neat thing. Obviously, games that involved counters, games that involved... Yeah, they didn't have plastic-coloured counters in those days. So the children played with the pips. Like today, children play with conkers. Yeah, I don't know whether they do anymore, but we used to. When we were young, we used to play with conkers, yeah? If a conker falls on off the tree on Yom Tov, then you can't play with it, because it was on the tree before Yom Tov. Now it fell off, it became... Noilad, it was something new that became usable on Yom Tov that you couldn't use beforehand, it wasn't. Similarly with the apricot pips. If the pip was inside the apricot and it was fully developed, the whole pip was there, it was inside the apricot before Yom Tov. But you ate the flesh of the apricot on Yom Tov. So now you've enabled the pip to be usable. Whereas beforehand, they couldn't use the pip for playing because it was covered in the flesh of the fruit. So therefore, again, Chazal gave that as an example of Noilad. And similarly, bones which are fit, lemachal behemo. If you've got bones which are fit to be used for machal behemo, but until you've stripped the chicken off it, or until you've stripped the meat off the bone and you've eaten it, the bones are sort of hidden, they're concealed within the meat. Yeah. Those are examples of Noilad.
Make it with Noilad, take your orange, you take off the peel, it's also Noilad, the orange.
The orange is not Noilad.
Right, now
but that's
the peel off.
Okay, fine. So we'll speak about, yeah, but you're allowed to do melocha as a derech achila. You're allowed to do the melocha in order to eat.
Yeah.
You can peel an orange, or you can peel an apple, you can peel an orange, or you can open an apricot on Yom Tov, or on Shabbos. Yeah, but we're talking about using the pip, which was inaccessible before Yom Tov, and now suddenly it's become available.
The internal part was inaccessible.
Okay. Leave it for tomorrow, I'll answer you. Lee Nader.
Boeing office, London. Thursday, Kofdalad Eor, 22nd of May. Rav Geshem Dunashlita, Shavuos Halochas, Part 3. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Gross, the Chosimchas of our Mitzvah Shal Yitzi Gross, which was last week on Shabbos Pashas Emor. Yerotzon Shiyizko Horov is Kenov, Rav Nachas, Memenu Mikolyoitz Vichalotov, and also as a schus for all the Cholim and for all the hostages, Sheyavoyu Lebeisom Besholom.
Amen.
Do you not have a microphone
yet? Not today.
Okay, sorry. Okay, good morning everyone. We're finishing off the series on Hilchos Basar V'Cholov as they pertain to Shavuos. So today I want to discuss making milky bread. Some people have a milky meal and they want to have bread with milk or butter inside. And then we'll discuss how to make breads in the ovens, which ovens you can use, the meaty oven, the milky oven, depending on what you're doing. So the Gemara in Pesachim brings down in two places. Ein loshin es ha'isa b'cholov. You're not allowed to make milky bread. You can't make a dough with milk inside. Ve'im losh chol hapas asura mitneher delaver. If you make milky bread, you cannot eat it. You have to throw the bread out. Why? But mitneher delaver, because it will cause an avera. What's an avera? Because we worry that bread is a food that you normally eat with meat or with milk. You eat normal things, you put butter in your bread, you put meat in your bread. And one assumes bread is parav. And therefore, if you have bread which is not parav, you'll think it's parav, you'll put some meat on it, and it'll end up being over nissa. Now, not only that, let's go back a stage. We have learned in the past that the issa vasa v'cholov, midoraisa, is only if you cook it together. So over here, even though at worst, were you to take milky bread and put a piece of meat on it and eat it, it would only be a drabonon of eating cold bosbachol together. Nevertheless, Chazal said, it's a gezeirah, you're not allowed to go even further, that's what we've got in Magdan. You can't even put chicken in your bread. You can't even make your bread meaty mid-drabonon. So it's like a drabonon on top of drabonon, because really, the whole, even if you eat cheese with your chicken, it's only drabonon. I'll be cold, I'll be there. Nevertheless, we see bosbachol often, Chazal make many, many harchokas between Basar and Cholov, and therefore you're not allowed to make meaty bread. It's brought down Shulchan Aruch in your day, a simon tzad yizayin, no meaty and no milky bread. The Gemara does say a heter. And heter is, the Gemara says, im asa halechem ke'en ke'ayin ke'en tura. You know what that means? Like the eye of an ox, then you're okay. So you can't make milky or meaty bread unless it's like the eye of an ox. Because we're showing him what that means, and we make it like both mahalchim. I will see in a second. Not only that, even if you did a shoygeik, let's say last night you made the bread, this morning you came to Torah Way Shir only to find out, oh, you're not allowed to make milky bread. The halacha is, we've got to mix down, it's a sofik, whether it could be, nevertheless, got to throw the bread in the garbage. What the stodim of his sofik? Shaila is the pshat that Chazal made a knas, that we told you not to make milky bread. You went against.
You would do it to eat it immediately.
That's what's on the heterium. Hold 1 minute. Says the Prima God, is a pshat knas, and therefore you could argue that if you didn't do it for on purpose, you did it by mistake, therefore you won't get a knas. Or do you know it's not a knas? Pasha Chazal said, please, throw away the bread because we're scared you'll do a mistake. You're scared you'll eat it with other gender, and therefore we don't care the reason why you put the milk in. Was it a mistake? Was it on purpose? Did it fly through the air by mistake? Did your kids have a food fight and the milk ended up in the dough? Whatever the reason is, perhaps Chazal asked you to partake in this bread, and therefore got to throw it out. And that seems to be the pashtus, even b'shogeg, you have to throw it out. What about it happened after you baked the bread? You baked the bread, and then someone poured milk all over your bread, it went in the loaf of bread, and now you can't see it anymore, but it's a milky bread that happened after Sha'as Afia. What's halacha? So we have a raya from a shayla in the Tshuva Tzemach, in the Tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek, which is brought down on the page of Shulchan Aruch. He had a shayla of a white wine producer, and that year the crop was not a bumper crop, and all the grapes were very, very shvach, and therefore they produced a wine which was very not tempting. No one would, they come to the shop, they're looking at the wine, and they weren't interested. No one wanted to buy the wine. So the owner of the wine went to the Rav, and said, I've got a problem. My wine, it tastes very good, but it doesn't really look the part. Yeah, that's actually what was wrong. The colour was off. You got an idea. If he adds in regular milk and oat milk together, it's going to give such a complexion of the wine. It's going to be perfect. They're going to be running to the shops to buy. Is he allowed to add into the wine some oat milk and some regular milk? And with that, it will persuade people to buy. That was Shaila, which Sam Abtele got. And he said, you're not allowed to do so. He brought down two reasons. Number one, the halacha. Ein loshin isa b'cholov. And here was a reason, we're scared that you'd end up mixing it with the other gender food. And here, you've got this fancy white wine. You'll say, ooh, this white wine, no, the headache is paired with this and this meat. And you're going to end up drinking the wine with the meat. And you won't realize that it has in it cholov. And therefore, says the Tanakh Tzedek, you're not allowed to do this and put oat milk and milk into the wine. Reason number one. Reason number two says you can't drink the Pesach. If people don't realize that oat milk in their wine, they'll have chomets over Pesach. But no one will realize. Everyone thinks that Chateauneuf wine kosher le Pesach. And it won't be kosher le Pesach. And therefore, you can't do so. That was his Pesach. Agav, because Yaakov brings down another time now. We're talking about Gnevis Das. You can't sell wine that looks like the most beautiful white wine ever created and you manage to make it white by putting in milk. That's outrageous because people will never bought it otherwise. They think it's good wine, it's really rubbish wine. And Thomas, you've got another problem. Oh, Gnevis Das, that he handles back and forth. Maybe it's the meaning of the Sochrim to do this. It's known that that can happen. And therefore, so there's three reasons why you can't add the milk to the wine. Either because Ein Loshin, you have some design, or Chashav Chom for Pesach, or Gnevis Das. Al Kaponim, we see from here that there the wine was made, b'shas it was made, it was no problem at all. It was not milky, it was parav. And they added in milk afterwards, and nevertheless, says the Talmud Tzedek, it's also in the first Raya that it's also to make something meaty or milky even after you've baked it, even after you've made it, michashash, that you will go on to eat it with the other gender food and be end up nichshol in Bosor Bachor. Okay. The Marashan of Kishmak Shaila, can you make milky bread in the 9 days? In 9 days, no one eats meat. And therefore, maybe now the good time to have milky bread because you won't end up eating it with meat and therefore it should be mutter. So the Marashan, no. Very common already in his days to make a siyum. And therefore, loads of siyumim knocking around, the siyumim will be meaty and you end up eating the bread with meaty. Or he said, there's a choyla. You have a yoledes or a child, someone who doesn't take well to eating milk, the plucky in the choyla can eat meat in 9 days, and therefore they also end up eating meat, and therefore no heter, the dirt isn't
done right. Nowadays,
your freezers are put through the fridge. Yeah. So freeze the big one. We're going to freeze in a second. Okay. So now, when was it mutter? Chaskel said before, if you make a small amount. So the Gemara said, if you make it ka'ayin the Torah, like the eye of an ox, it's allowed. I'm sorry, one more thing. And we start to discuss on what food was this issa set? We know it's said on bread, yeah, lechem, ein loshin isa b'cholov. And we know that the Tanakh Tzedek said it applies to wine as well, because he asked you to have the wine. We'll see soon, it's a discussion, is it said to other things as well? We'll get there. Okay, so Rashi said, Pshat in the Gemara, ka'ayin the Torah, the eye of an ox. What does that mean? Rashi says it means ma'at, ka'ayin the Torah, that's tiny, a small little thing. I don't know how big the eye of an ox is, not so big. And therefore, says Rashi, if you make a small bit of milky bread, which is shayach, to eat it, miyad, b'bas achas, then there's no problem. Because what's the worry? That you're going to end up leaving it by and in 2 years' time or eat it with meat? Ah, you made a tiny bit. You'll remember this is milchix. And therefore, there is no problem at all. So it comes to the mechaba. Says the mechaba, ein loshin isa b'cholov, shema yovoy l'ochla im bosa, im lo shkola pas osa, if you did it, it's forbidden, even to eat it by itself. V'im, hayadavar mu'at, if only a small amount. And the Be'er Goyah says, this is a Gemara, in Tzachin Amavav, or Kepirish Rashi, Shon. Kedei achila babas achas. Enough to eat it in one sitting, in one go, then it's going to be mutter. So that is Shittas Rashi. Says Ramah, Olachin, Nahagin lolosh pas im cholov, b'chag hashavuois. That's why we make milky bread for Shavuos. Al pi, with Rashi, gam b'shumen l'kovet Shabbos. Or for one Shabbos to make it meaty, he calls them mechshav kedavar mu'at. That is called a davar mu'at. Says the Prima Godin, there's a machlokes Rashi, machlokes mechaba and Ramah. The mechaba was more machmir. He said only a tiny amount kedei le'echol b'bas achas. But the Ramah seems to say more than that, even to make for Shavuos, and that's all for Shabbos, the whole day, three meals. Agav says the Da'ak Yitshuva, interesting enough, that it doesn't mean 2 days Shavuos. Even the Ramah, they make you to make enough for 1 day's worth of food, 1 day of shavuos. To make 2 days, you can't do. Now, Agav, you have to make it on the day, the Bach says. You can really make it on Friday for Shabbos, or for Shabbos, make it for eating on 1 day only, that would be okay. Also, says the Bach, let's say you're a Ravchus guy, you make 5 chalas every Shabbos, so you know you have leftovers on Sunday and Monday, that's no good. That's not called making it for Shabbos, that you'll remember that you made it meaty or milky and therefore you won't. It's only if it's normally what you've made, it's normally consumed in that whole day, then it's mutter. Says Aruch Shulchan, what about if you are a big open house, you know you have your Meir Sharon, the open house with 100 bachrim every meal, and you want to make meaty bread for Shabbos or milky bread for Shavuos, can you make it for your 100 bachrim for Friday night and Shabbos day and Shabbos? Yes, that's all called Aruch Shulchan Tzeh Achila B'Basachas, the Fidu Ramah, that's what your household normally consumes for in 1 day, and therefore that will be mutter, and that is the first heta of the Rishonim Pshat in the Gemara, Ka'ayin the Torah. However, you cannot make loads and loads and loads of milky bread intending to give out to all your friends one loaf each, and they should all eat it on 1 day. That the Achronim do not like. Okay. Next heta, which is how the Rif and the Rambam and the Rashba learn Pshat in the Gemara. If you make it Ka'ayin the Torah, they hold it means if you make it look different. It doesn't look like normal colour. It looks like an ox's eye. I don't know exactly how that is. You can try and work it out at home. How to make like the ox's eye colour. But it says, the Rishonim, that is when the Gemara allows you to do so. So that says the Mechaba. Oy, sheshina suras hapas, shetehei nikeres, shelo yoichel babosa, muta. Or if you make a shino in the tsura of the pas, and that's what many people do. They want to make milky bread, they make it different, or they make a different shape, they make a different thing. Round, milk is going to be round, that's going to be okay because you won't come to eat it with the other gender food. Which is actually an interesting thing because there's one Gemara said, Ka'ayin the Torah. Rashi learned like this, the Rambam learned like this, and we pass in Lukula both ways. But you find that often by Suri Rabbanon that we do that, even though Kiddur Monshach only has one Pshat, really. So a bit schwer that you can do 1 day one head to one another. So that's find that often. Okay. Said the Chavadas, this Heker has to be B'Shas Bishul, B'Shas Afiyah. You cannot make a milky bread, it looks indistinguishable from anything else, and afterwards you're going to put something on it, you'll write on it milky in cheese to make it mut. That is not allowed, it has to be b'shas afir. When it comes out of the oven, it has to already be that it's already got the clear hecker on it, that it is milky or meaty. So how do you do that? Let's say in Israel they often have milky things, they put a sticker on the challah before it goes in the oven. So it comes out of the oven with a stick on that's stuck into the bread. It says on it, chalavi, milky. And therefore, with that, people will know that it's ready, it will never offer, and then the hechtas come afterwards. The shas, the maisa, it was already there. I think the shmach shayla comes from there, that people don't like to eat the sticker, which is understandable. And therefore, they remove the sticker before. And the shayla of a sholim for your lechem mishnah, because it takes up a chunk of the challah, it could be thrown over sholim. There's nothing to be shown about this. And it could be if it's missing less than 1/48th of the bread. It's still called sholim. For matzahs, a lot of people make them for that. And therefore, it's not the end of the world. Just something to think about. Okay, now.
Is it boira? So if you get the sticker off without the bread?
I don't know. Is the imam called tarum? Is it like resting on top of it? I'm not sure.
I'm just asking.
Not sure.
Oh, you get over it.
Lost sholim.
You get over it by removing a bit of the challah.
They lost the sholim. Yeah, just remove less than 48th. Okay. Can you measure that on Shabbos? Yeah, Medidah Shemitz. Okay. Now, I saw an interesting shayla from Shana Gross. He wants to know, some things, they're milky, and they package it in a bag that says milky. As part of the, you buy it sealed in a bag, and it says milky on it. Is that enough? Or is it also because it's after Afia? He has a tzad to say that if it's part of the production process, that the production line, it goes in the oven, it comes out, it gets bagged, it gets on the shelf, maybe that's still called Shas Afia, and therefore maybe that'll be mutter. Shmak a chur, Shara Goss, and hey.
But if you send the challah out of the bag afterwards,
is it a hecker? If you take off the sticker also, it'll be a hecker. Can it have the thing? Okay. Okay. Now, it's not so partial. This is all, you have a hecker, you sprinkle cheese on top of your challah, you're fine. A great hecker. Now, sometimes the cheese is inside, like in a pocket of cheese. Or for example, by berekas. Yeah, berekas, you have berekas. Some of them are cheese berekas, some of them are potato berekas, some of them are meat berekas. And is that a shayla of a noshin? Some poets can say, no. Everyone knows that a filled bereka is either meat or milk or parv. It's a known thing. It's not like a challah, which is becheskas parv. And if you're going to end up doing the other, making it milky, you're going to cause a hemetha. Berechas, everyone knows, don't go to a simcha and bite into a berecha randomly, because depending what your status is, whether you eat or not. Some people say, because it's a known issue, you can be mekel, but other machas say no. And the bedatz, el charedis, next row, make sure that all cheese berechas are triangular. Here also?
The triangular, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to hear also. I think
Rabbi Shimon is trying to do that.
Yeah, they make all the cheese records one shape and all the power records a different shape, yeah. So you won't have that problem. As you know, famous deals, once a waiter at Chasna, and suddenly there's lots of screaming and the boss comes running, what's going on? And they said that there's a waiter at Chasna and he's causing big problems. Suddenly everyone's screaming at him and the boss came running to see what's happening. And they said, boss, your waiter, he lost the plot. What's happening? He's pouring mushroom sauce into people's clothing, in their jackets, on their... He's gone mad. So the boss said to the waiter, what are you doing? Why are you pouring mushroom sauce on people? The waiter said, you told me wherever I see a bereka, I should pour mushroom sauce. And all their pockets, they've got all the taking berekas home with them. Okay. Now, right now, the Gemara says only osa for bread. The Tanakh Tzedek said wine as well. There's an interesting tug. The tug brings down, mizeh nirali. If you have a spice grinder and you grind it, nowadays it's quite fashionable, you get black pepper in round little balls and you grind it up on the spot and it's fresh and it's strong. So you have this black pepper grinder and you use it to make black pepper, and this black pepper you use either in meat or in milk. It's a power of black pepper grinder. And then something happened, or the spillage in your kitchen and hot meat spilt onto the grinder. So now your grinder is no longer powered, it became fleishiks. Says the Taz, you're not allowed to use this grinder anymore. Why not? Because you assume the grinder was powered. You would make black pepper to eat with either your eggs or with your cholent. And now it's no longer powered, and therefore you're going to end up grinding black pepper, forgetting that it is fleishiks, and you're going to end up eating your fleishiks black pepper with your milk. And therefore, says the Taz, you're not allowed to use this grinder anymore. Maybe kashrut it, if you can kashrut it back to power, that would be okay. But you cannot use a milchik grinder that used to be b'cheskas power, because now it changed and you won't know. By the way, for spices, even if you end up grinding it a few days after the incident, it will be, even though it's not ben yomo, the din is like a ben yomo, because it's of a chorif, and therefore it will really be meaty and therefore really be a problem. And therefore, says the Taz, you have to chuck out this grinder in the bin. Now, not everyone's happy with this Taz. There is a Mishnah Yaakov question. Mishnah Yaakov says, what are you talking about? The Mechaba says clearly, Tavlin, Sheneduchu, Bemudoicha, Shabbosar, Osul, Achlam, Becholov. In Hilchot Avacharif, the Mechaba, when he put down this halacha, says, if you ground up spices with a fleishik grinder, don't eat it with milk. Sounds like you can eat it by itself, no problem. So why are you, the Taz, being so machmir? And the answer they give is that the difference between a grinder that's officially fleishiks to one that's officially powered. If it's officially fleishiks, you know it's fleishiks, therefore not a problem. However, something officially powered, which by mistake became fleishiks, on that the Taz is machmir not to do so. I'll call upon him. It's beforeish here that the Taz held this issa is not only on bread. It also applies to spices. And any other food that you might end up eating with the other gender will also be off. So we have right now a mechaba, a gemara about bread. We have a tzemach tzedek about wine, which agav, Ochshulchan says, fake news, the wine is mutter. It's only bread, nothing else. Either Taz, many are claiming to disagree with the Taz. Okay. I'll tell you after a minute. People like to make fried onions. They fry up loads and loads of onions, and they keep it and they use it for various dishes as they come along. So the fi the Taz, you cannot make fried onions for a long time in either a meaty or a milky pan, even though you only intend to use it for meaty or milky, because it's not recognizable on the onions what it is. You haven't got the heta of those Rishonim that hold Ka'ayim Torah means a hekah. You're making more than achila babas achas or fi ramah for one day, and therefore you have to only make power of fried onions long term, but you could not make meaty or milky fried onions. I tell you, I have a very important halacha that people often make onion bread. Onion bread, fancy, sprinkle some onions on top, put it in the oven, beautiful. Yeah, everyone should try some. Now, if you cut the onions with a meaty knife or a milky knife, this is halachically meaty bread or milky bread. Yeah, you cannot eat these onions with other gender foods. If you would, it'll be off, cut it sharp. And then eat it anyway. And therefore, this bread, if you make more than achila basachas, would have to be thrown in the bin. Unless you only ever make meaty onion bread, and therefore one could argue that the onions on top is your hekka, that you know that it is meaty, that you could argue.
If the onion was prepared in a milky dish or pot, or the other way is in a fresh pot, is it okay?
Again, what happened?
Well, is it okay then?
To do what? To do what?
To cut a quantity of onion, for example.
Can you cut up loads and loads of onions with a milky knife for use for long term? Lefi the taz would be a problem. Many achorim disagree with that.
We'll put it in a milky pot.
But again, if you're gonna, are you using it only for milkiks? But how do you know it's milkiks? It doesn't
the
say
milkiks
on it. But what are you doing on eating it today? Eating it in over 100 years?
A few weeks.
No, Lefi the taz might be a problem because you can't tell that it's milkiks and it's milkiks. Now, mazoinus, pashtus, is included in this issa. That means even if you hold dafka bread, pas habar b'kisnin is the same type of thing. The Chai Adam says, pas ukayotze boy. In other rhyme, pashtus, if you make milky bread with milk, that bread is mazoinus. Yeah, because it's not using water, it's using milk, and if you can taste the milk, it will be mazoinus. Nevertheless, the Issa said, and therefore, I'll tell you what's saying again. Donuts, milky donuts. Are you allowed to make milky donuts? So we all know that we go to all the fancy bakeries, there's unlimited milky donuts. What's going on? The answer is, of course it's mutter. Why? Because you've got this cream on top. And therefore, it's clearly that it's milky, it's got a hekka. Now, you can argue if it's power of cream and milky cream looks the same, it might not be a great hekka. However, says the Ma'arit, that if you have a food that's never normally eaten with other gender, no one normal, eats donuts with meat. And no, nowadays you do liver, I know the problem. Yeah, what?
Kanker.
Hanukkah, Mr. Rack sells like liver donuts and salt beef donuts. Okay, so this shield prepared before the redemption. But if you don't eat donuts with other gender, then there's no problem at all.
No cholesterol testing.
Okay. Even then, it's probably nicker. That's not a problem, because then you can see the salt beef clearly inside. It won't be a problem. But I'll upon him, a food you never eat with other gender is sure going to be okay, because there's no chashash. What is a problem, though, and this is why Kadassia quite machmir, is that so there's no issue of making milky donuts, even if you can't see that they're milky, because you will never eat them with other gender food, because no one normal takes a milky jam donut and dunks it in a chicken soup and eat, right? However, Kadassi is always concerned that when you're fleshix, you may end up eating such a donut for dessert, and you won't know it's milky. And for that reason, they are very nervous, and they put signs up on how to determine the milky ones, the power ones, and they make differences. That's not Simon's design, that's a stage removed. That's only the chashash of eating it when you are fleshix. Okay.
What about ordinary cake?
What do you say?
Ordinary
cake is not normally eaten with meat. No one takes a slice of cake, salt beef, slice of cake, a sandwich, right? And therefore, no problem. You don't eat cake with meat.
You eat the cake for dessert immediately after meat.
So that's not similar to design. That's its own chashash. You have to be careful not to eat
cake after
milk with a fish. But the Issa Tzad Yizayin is only on something that you normally eat together.
Together.
Yeah, which is bread, or perhaps wine, spices, things that mamish get submerged in the food. Okay. Last few minutes, I'll briefly try and talk about it. It might not do it justice. How to make challahs. Because, let's say you make challahs in a meaty oven, can you eat the challahs for your milky sudna? Very important shayla. So we have to do a bit of background. Background is, if you make challahs in a meaty oven with meat at the same time, and the meat is open, and there's steam knocking around, the challah mamish flesh. The mamish flesh. If you eat it, you perhaps won't wait 6 hours, per se, can say. But it's also to eat that challah with milk. That's a fact. There's steam in the oven, if you most post steam. And someone's coming up with Shaila 10 minutes before Shabbos, that their wife made a fancy Shabbos meal. Her father's coming for Shabbos. A fancy meal, and all the food's in the oven at the same time now, the final stretch. And there's open meat, the saucy meat, and also open fish, saucy fish in the oven. And I told them they've got to chuck out the entire lot. Because meat and fish is sakana, and the steam in the oven from a liquid, you got to chuck it all out. That's the halacha. Kishute kashi oven. I am pishkichuva kutesan. Okay, that's steam in the oven. So you can't make challahs with open steam, with open meat in the same oven at the same time, because then it's kishute a problem of Simon Tzad Yizayin, because it's mamish meaty and you can't eat it with milk, and you have to throw them in the bin unless you made a davar mu'at. If you made enough for one Shabbos, that'll be fine, because you know it's meaty and it's made for fun. That is. But now, what about when it's got nothing in the oven? You're making it in an empty oven. Normally you make enough colour, you fill up the whole oven. And then, you're going to put it in the oven. What's halach? So, what goes on? You have a meaty oven. So, it went from the meat that was there this morning into the walls. And now they're in the walls. Now I put my oven in. Now I put my challahs in. So So let's say the challah makes steam, which is a machlokes, but lechatchila let's assume it makes steam. So now that steam will schlep the taste down from the walls into my chav. That is now called in Lashon Kodesh nut bar nut. That is a secondary taste. And the halacha is, we pass the Rambam says, lechatchila, you should not eat that with cheese. But if you would put cheese on it and ask your shayla, you'll be allowed to eat it. So that is the halacha of nut bar nut. The mechaber is mekel lechatchila. The Rambam says, no, nut bar nut is osur lechatchila. So lechatchila, if you want to eat your challahs with milk, you should not make it in a ben yoimoy oven because you're being goyrim a nut bar nut lechatchila. However, there are those who are mekel because it's not clear that there's steam from a challah. A challah is a davar gush. Now, there's a shayla in Achronim, the Prim Gadol about it, the Moshe seems to conclude that if you don't see a challah steaming, you're allowed to assume there was no halachic steam, and therefore, nothing happened. It went into meaty oven, but it had no shaykhs to meat at all. And therefore, according to those opinions, you could cook a challah in a meaty oven and still intend to eat it with cheese, so kula, but for sure, it won't be a problem of Simon design that you've made a meaty challah, because it's not really so meaty. It's not meaty enough. So if you put cheese in it, you can eat the food with the other. It's only not brown nuts. And therefore, you've shown this. So Ikadin, there's room to be makel to make challahs in an oven, meaty oven, ben yoimoy, even if you intend to eat it with milk. That is one opinion. However, there are those who are more machmeh. There's two tranches of chumras here. Some people, everyone works out they do at home, some people tell you not to do it if it's ben yoimoy. They first prefer you to wait 24 hours. So then, that's nut bar nut and ein ben yoimoy. That's much more mekel. That is machlekes going to chokhmas adam. It could be mutlach atchila. Well, I'll tell you the case. Can you cook pasta in a meaty pot to eat it with cheese? Common child. The pot ein ben yoimoy. Can you do so? The goyim says yes, you can. The chokhmas adam says no, you can't. However, everyone agrees. You have in your fridge pasta from last night's supper. It was cooked in a meaty pot ein ben yoimoy to eat with meatballs. And now the leftovers, everyone agrees, you're allowed to now add in cheese lechatchil. Because that is called nut bar nut. Einoi ben yoimoy, and that is mutter lechatchil. If, when it was cooked, the pot had not been used 24 hours. Therefore, the blias it has of the meat is not 24
hours. Did you say after 24 hours? Is that what you said?
No, you can do it straight away. If b'shas you cooked it, the pot had not been used 24 hours. For meat. Okay, that's not. Therefore, so me'ikadin the olives were made cool to make challahs in a meaty oven and eat it with cheese. The others were machmeh to wait 24 hours, and the others were machmeh, not like the Vilna Goyim, to first burn out the oven on the highest number, 45 minutes, and then with 24 hours, and then do so. It's a machlokes, it's all mutter be'etzem. How from you want to be, how much you want to be, you should ask a local Orthodox rabbi. Thank you all for listening. I know that if I finish late, I'll never be invited back. Have a very good day.
You have to cash the oven as well,
side table. Some are machmeh, we don't have to. Some are machmeh, no.
Sorry, I
didn't catch
the sauce
and
I don't want the sauce. I don't
ever do
it, but
what are
you saying
now? You put pasta in a meaty sauce. If you cook pasta in a meaty pot, a clean one, which hadn't been used 24 hours, and now you've got leftovers.
It was after 24 hours.
You cooked it and in the pot had not been used 24 hours, yeah.
Oh, so nothing happened for 24 hours.
Between the last meat and the pasta. And now you've finished the supper and you decided, you know what, I want to have pasta with cheese now. That you could now add the cheese. It's in the menu, and therefore you could add the cheese now.
Sorry, sorry.
No one
will do it.
You can put
fish
up
the meat in the oven.
Yes, I can't. Fish and meat, can't cook.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so fish and flesh.
It's also to eat.
Fish, how awesome would it be? It's